Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode number 10 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. In this episode, we get the juicy download from Liz Elam on the Global Coworking Conference Unconference, otherwise known as Juicy, recently hosted in Australia. Liz is a well-known veteran of the coworking industry. She opened her first Link coworking space in Austin in 2010 and her second location shortly after. She was a founding member of Lexi, the League of Extraordinary Coworking Spaces, and its president for its first 2 years. She was also the driving force behind CoShare, the industry's first association. And she took over Juicy several years ago and is driving its major global expansion. Liz has her finger on the pulse of coworking and where it's going, and often gets quoted by the press. Speaking of the press, in her spare time, she writes for Entrepreneur.com. Liz also shares some of her side passions, which you'll hear about momentarily, so I won't spoil the fun, but it was enjoyable to hear a little bit more about Liz outside of the coworking world. In our conversation, Liz shares what most surprised her about Juicy Australia, Juicy expansion plans, and where she thinks coworking will go in the next 5 years. Enjoy.
Liz, thanks for joining me today. I am so excited to have you on the show. And hot off of your Juicy Australia trip, so we have lots to talk about.
Well, thank you, Jamie. I'm excited to be here. And yeah, I just got back, let's see, what day is today? But I got back Monday, and today is Thursday. So yeah, I just got back.
You mentioned in our pre-show chat that the jet lag is treating you fairly well.
Yeah, you know, I was horribly jet lagged going to Australia and had the pleasure of waking up at 2 a.m. Today for about a week. And then not going back to sleep until 5 or 6, but, coming back, it was a breeze. So plan on that when you go to Australia.
Well, good for you for taking some extra time. And I can't wait to hear a little bit more about the trip. We're going to dig into Juicy Australia because we definitely want to hear about how that went, but I want to do a quick little get to know Liz section. So most people know coworking Liz and all of the things we heard about Liz in the intro that you contribute to. But I know you have a few interesting nuggets and passion projects that you work on outside of coworking, and you don't have to tell us all of them, but tell us a couple of things that we wouldn't know from reading your articles in Entrepreneur.com or following the Juicy Facebook posts or seeing you on stage.
Oh, getting personal right off the bat. I like it. So I guess one thing people probably don't know about me is I used to be a very avid photographer. That was my passion for a really long time. And growing up, if you asked me what I was going to do, I was going to be a lawyer. I was going to be a National Geographic photographer. Throughout my life, I've gone through phases of being super into taking photographs and then phases where I just kind of let it go for a few years. And with my camera on my iPhone 6, I've gotten really a lot back into doing photography, and I love it. And I've even started a little Pinterest board for my iPhone 6 photography, and I love it, and it feeds my soul and it makes me happy. So I love photography. I think the other thing that people probably don't know about me and that for some reason shocks everybody is I went to Texas A&M. I was a journalism major, and I also have a deep love of writing. Again, don't do it very often, but yeah, I do a lot of contributing pieces, and I actually love to write. I just don't do a good job of scheduling enough time to do my writing. If it paid better, I would just take photos and be a travel journalist. But then, you know, I'd never be home to see my dog or hang out with my family or take care of my Link members, and then I wouldn't be happy. So it's a balancing act always.
I know. Well, I love it that you have this other side, because we all know, like, rockin' businesswoman Liz, and I always love to hear the other side, and you have a really creative, passionate side to you, so that was fun.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so let's talk about Juicy Australia. So this was the first international Juicy, right?
Yes.
What about the conference did you least expect?
You know, I think the thing that probably surprised me the most and absolutely delighted me was on the first day of the conference, we were, you know, in very engaged in the conference, but at the same time, we were really trying to do a lot of focus on social media. Mike LaRosa and also a gentleman from Hub Australia were basically you know, live tweeting the whole time. And then we were posting on Facebook. We were posting wherever we could. And we were super excited when we saw that we got to number 6 in Australia. I had asked Brad to make an announcement to try to push us higher up because my goal was to be number 3 in Australia, which was, you know, during a normal business day and also during a really large conference in Sydney at the time called Vivid, which is kind of like South By, but with lights.
Okay.
It's really amazing. And if you ever get the chance, go to Sydney during Vivid. It's really something special. But, and Juicy was part of Vivid. So by the time I went to Brad and said, you know, could you please announce for people to keep up the social media? Because I really, really, really want to make it in the top 3 in Australia. We'd made it to number 3 in Australia. So to be able to trend nationally, on Juicy and co-working was something unexpected and really, really cool.
That's amazing. Yeah, I look at those trending lists sometimes and you never see anything remotely related to co-working up there. We're like the Kardashians and transvestites and all sorts of other topics. That's awesome. Right. And one of those things you're probably learning as you go along. You guys are getting your groove on here and getting the social media thing down while you're speaking and running logistics, because you had quite a number of speaking roles while you were there.
Yeah, I was, we did a fun thing. Brad and I, had talked about me doing a keynote. You know, I feel like a lot of keynotes are just people talking at you, and I much prefer a conversation. So we decided that Brad would interview me. And it was really, really well received because I got to tell the story of Juicy, and a lot of people in Australia didn't even know we call it Juicy and not the GCUC. So it was fun to tell the story, and it was fun to like give a little background and context to why we were sitting there that day. But it was also completely surreal for me to be up there and looking out and being like, I can't believe I'm sitting in A, Sydney, Australia, and B, at Juicy, and C, this is really happening. And it was a moment I'll never forget. So I did that. And then I moderated a panel on design, which was super fun. There's a lot going on in Australia design-wise. I've always looked to Australia as a leader in design, and we had a really great panel on design. We also had a panel on Beyond Australia, and Bob Zing from China was on that panel. He has 12 co-working spaces in China. It's called People Squared, and I didn't know Bob until then, and I met another gentleman from New Zealand, who's doing a lot of fabulous things over there in the co-working world. And, you know, it was really exciting. So I moderated 2 panels and I sat in on a panel. So yeah, I was on stage a lot, which was really weird too, because anytime there was a break, everybody knew my name.
Right. I feel like at the US conference, you get to hide out a little bit more. Like you sort of kick it off and then the focus is more on other speakers. So.
But I do that on purpose. That's right. Intentional, and Brad did that as well. It's because, you know, if you're putting on the conference, you really don't want to put yourself front and center too much, because it's negatively perceived as you're trying to like just self-promote or something. Mm-hmm. So we really try when we're the operator to, for the most part, stay off stage. But believe me, we have plenty to do in the background.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, Australia is interesting. I was at the WorkTech conference in New York last month, and there were a number of Australian folks there. And I mentioned to someone, I said, you know, I'm a little bit surprised that, you know, there are a lot of Australians here and speaking and telling their story, architects and designers. And I said, you know, what? And some guys doing some really innovative software for workspace planning, probably for co-working spaces, more for corporations. But I said, you know, what's this thing with Australia kind of being, you know, innovative? And they said, you know, they think of themselves as sort of this, like, you know, they're on sort of the other end of the world, far away from everything. So they almost sort of take that to the complete extreme, where they try to put themselves in a position where they're learning from others. They really perceive, you know, Europeans and Americans as being leaders and try to seek a lot of feedback and innovate. And so I thought, oh, that's interesting. So there seems to be just, I mean, it's a, you know, smaller country, but so much going on.
Well, so it was funny because I talked to one of the gentlemen that talked to you, because he was like, oh, I met Jamie Russo. Oh. I was like, I know Jamie Russo. It was funny how many people in Australia were like, oh, do you know Clay Spinuzzi? I'm like, I wrote the Ford for Clay Spinuzzi book, you know? And so you know, there's, or actually I didn't write the foreword. I just contributed a little blurb for it. You know, there are connections all over the world. The world is so small, and especially the world of co-working is actually small. And yeah, we all know each other and it's fabulous, but it's also interesting because I asked the same question of Brad of Hub Australia. Basically he had the exact same response, which I think is so interesting too, because I don't think of Australia that way as, you know, they're, because they're on the other side of the earth and they're actually a pretty small country. They have the same economics as the state of Texas. You know, they have an insecurity complex that they don't need.
I know, but I almost feel like that's sort of that healthy paranoia that they say entrepreneurs should have, right? Like,
right.
It helps, that's what makes them successful.
Yeah, they're very driven and they think they're behind, but they're, I think in a lot of ways they're leaders, especially in design and architecture. I see some really great stuff coming out of there.
So besides the fact that Australia is really innovative, what are some of the interesting nuggets that you saw at a conference for those of us who couldn't be there, even though we would have loved to have been there? And then also maybe mention, I know there was a lot of social media content generated. Are there other places we can go to sort of get more content that happened at the conference?
Yeah. So you can always just go to GC Australia's website. If you just, you know, Google GCUC in Australia, you'll find it, or the Facebook page. There's lots of content there as well.
Awesome.
But, you know, I think the nugget would really, the juicy nugget would really be we're all facing the exact same challenges. I think the only major difference and a very huge theme that went throughout the conference was lots of discussion on government support. On, you know, what should it be? What has it been? What works? What doesn't work? And talking about that from a global perspective. So like in Paris, the Parisian government has gone and made some free co-working spaces, which the co-working spaces in Paris generally will tell you does not help them.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to compete with free. But then, you know, in Italy, there's a government that's basically helping, giving entrepreneurs money to go hang out in a co-working space that they couldn't normally afford.
Yes.
So there, and then, you know, the New Zealand government is very involved in co-working. And believe it or not, the Chinese government is very interested in co-working and how they can support it better. So I think that, you know, the governments are figuring out that this does help economic development-wise. It helps entrepreneurial-wise. It helps startup-wise because great things happen in co-working spaces because great things happen when people choose to work in proximity around people that they want to be around. It's the basic tenet of co-working. What's really interesting is, you know, that we're really seeing this, I think, huge ripple effect from the valuation of WeWork, where co-working has eyes on it and a lot of eyes on it. And it's not just commercial real estate and it's not just venture capital and it's not just government. It's this huge global trend that, you know, Steve King and I have discussed, Steve King from Emergent Research and I've discussed before that, you know, co-working is a true global phenomenon. This isn't happening in a silo. This is happening everywhere simultaneously. And that is so cool.
Yeah, there's some conversation today on the GC Facebook page, and I think there's some emails flying around about some articles on WeWork and their valuation as people like to talk about. But I think your point exactly is, you know, it's really changing the landscape and bringing a lot of attention to what's going on in co-working. And as the WeWork guys like to say, you know, their argument that, you know, they're not going to be overly threatened by a bubble is that, you know, it's not just tech folks that are working this way. It's the world is changing. And it sounds like you're kind of agreeing with that statement pretty strongly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's because spaces are attractive to any demographic that I think it makes us, you know, a tad bit insulated. You know, if something, you know, horrific happens, it dramatically affects the global economy, then will we see an effect in co-working? Sure, but it won't just be WeWork. It'll be everybody.
Well, and it may not just, you know, wipe the industry out, as I think some people fear if they think that it's all programmers working on their tech projects in the spaces. It's much more diverse than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the other thing is, you know, again, I quote my friend Steve King, who pointed out that, you know, when we had the economic downturn of, I guess it was about 2008, you know, when the economy turned back around, typically what we see is people going back to corporations in droves. They go back to the security, they go back to the health insurance, they go back to what they used to know. And this time that didn't happen. People chose to stay out. They chose to be independent. And that is new. So I think even if there is another economic downturn, I don't think it's going to change the fact that people don't want to go work for the man anymore. They want to work independent and they want to be independent and they want to have choices. And so it might be harder, but the rewards are so much greater that it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fun next decade or two, seeing how these changes play out. Really exciting time and exciting for people who get to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Changing a lot of lives, and we get to watch that in our spaces. Juicy Toronto is next, right, in terms of Juicy conferences?
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay. That's September.
And I should jump in and quickly mention, so we're mentioning a lot of resources like the Juicy Australia site, the Facebook site, Juicy Toronto, mm-hmm. Steve King. I will include links to all of these in the show notes. So you don't have to guess or Google at everythingcoworking.com and just click on podcast. And when you see Liz's show, it'll be in there. So what are you most looking forward to for the Toronto conference?
You know what? What I'm most looking forward to is seeing how Ashley and Canada choose to do Juicy, because, you know, I think that what people maybe don't understand is that, yeah, it has the name Juicy on it, but we get partners in every country. And we really let them set their own agenda and run their own show. We help them out, and we do a lot of things to promote and back-end systems and share best practices and, you know, try to consolidate some things on the back end. But all in all, this is, you know, programmed by Ashley and her team. So it's going to be very different from Juicy USA or from Juicy Australia. And Ashley's put together a different agenda. And I love that, because she's owning it, and it's as she should. We're going to see, you know, basically day one is a conference. Day two is an unconference, and day three is workshops and tours. But like one of her panels that I'm really excited about that Ashley and I've worked together on is life after co-working. Cause we've seen some really big players exit co-working for whatever reason. Some chose to, some didn't. And they've moved on to different careers. And so to talk about that transition and what that looked like and what they're doing today, I think is super exciting and something we haven't done before at Juicy. So I think that'll be really fun to see how that shakes out and some of the interesting panels and speakers that we've never heard from before.
Yeah, I love it. We'll have a local flavor and an Ashley flavor. And Ashley, by the way, Liz and I know each other and know who Ashley is. But for those listening who don't, she's referring to Ashley Proctor, who's behind the Foundry and Creative Blueprint in Toronto. And she's expanding to Seattle as well. So she has a lot going on besides Juicy Toronto.
Yeah, and it's just such a fun story. I was in Paris at the Coworking Unconference Coworking Europe conference that John Yves puts on, and I happened to meet Ashley out at a dinner. We became friends that night, and we've been friends ever since, and we meet every year at the European Coworking Conference, and she came to Juicy right after that, and I can't wait to go up to Canada and support her, because she's been a huge supporter of mine. She implied that I was her mentor the other day, and I was like, I think you're my mentor.
And
we have a really, really cool respect for each other. And, you know, I think one of the greatest things about this industry is not only the fact that I get to have friends all over the world and I get to, you know, spread this love of coworking, but I've never been in an industry where I universally enjoy almost everybody in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I mean, Jamie, you and I have become friends, Jerome Chang, Benjamin, mm-hmm. Bill, like I have co-working friends all over the world. I have such a great network, and it's available to anyone that wants to tap into it. All you have to do is just show up to some of these events and become part of it. And it's a really magical industry that I've never seen this phenomenon before. And I love it.
Yeah. I think, you know, to talk about finding your tribe, and this is like sort of a really special tribe, because I think you're right. People just really, we all love what we do, and which is probably unusual, but you know, in general, especially when you talk about an industry at large, and to have so many great people in it, and people who are about community. I think that's probably one of the driving forces, is we all care about our local community, and that extends globally as well.
And, you know, one of the things we talked about a lot on stage at GCUSA was, you know, that we're collaborators, not competitors. And that's one of the things really said repetitively in Australia, and that people really identified with. And, you know, it is something that you have to teach. It's a little bit innate, but as different industries come in and different players come in, we have to continually let people understand that there is enough business to go around, and you need to lift each other up, not try to compete with each other.
Juicy USA, Juicy Australia, Juicy Toronto. What's next for Juicy?
Well, in October, we are headed down to South America. I was approached actually in Europe by a lovely gentleman named Marcos Schwartz, and he said, hey, can we do a Juicy South America? And I was like, sure we can. Want to help? And he said, yes, I do. And, you know, typical fashion, you know, of just jumping and then figuring out how I'm going to swim. So it's been an eye opener though, because, you know, we're building a website in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. That's a new challenge for us, trying to figure out all the language stuff. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to do the conference in Spanish and simultaneously translate it into Portuguese and English.
Okay. So when you say South America, does that mean Brazil?
So Brazil is where it is, but it's the Brazil conference, and it's going to be in São Paulo, and we're very close to having our venue locked down, and we're working on the agenda, and we've got the ticket sales should be up this week and the splash page this week as well. So we're on the cusp of South America as well. And then we're talking to some other regions in addition to that. So this isn't the end. This is just the beginning.
Oh yes, I didn't doubt that. Your international expansion in 2015 alone is astounding. So it's amazing.
Know, it's just that thing where, you know, when it's meant to be, it all just falls into place and it's easy. Mm-hmm. And when it's not meant to be, you just continually come up against a brick wall.
Yeah.
And this has been the easiest international expansion perhaps in the history of international expansions.
Well, it sounds like you have your model down, and you know what you're going after, and you have some great local collaborators. So it's a really, it looks like a successful model.
We so don't have it down.
No.
You know, time waits for no man. And, you know, I really feel like I've been watching co-working flatline for 7 years as it's been growing exponentially. It's just not, I haven't seen the kind of explosive growth I thought I would see. And I was saying in Australia that I feel like, you know, it's just been going straight, and it's just starting up that bell curve. But it's starting. It's going upward now. And, you know, where we go from there is this hockey stick effect.
We're ready. It's coming.
Yeah, it is. And it's a wave. You can't stop it.
Good. So be in it. And you're riding it. You're surfing. Did you do any surfing? Are you a surfer? Any surfing in Australia?
I so want to be a surfer. I think surfers look so cool, but I did not have time to take a lesson. And I've learned through skiing that even though I think I can teach myself things athletic, I actually cannot, and that I require instruction. So, yeah, I didn't have time for that, but I did go to Bondi Beach and saw everybody bobbing in the water and people walking around with surfboards looking super cool, and I was jealous.
Very nice. Well, probably a good move so that you're all in one piece for the next few Juicies. So outside of Juicy, in your spare time, you run a couple of co-working spaces in Austin. What's next for you in co-working outside of Juicy?
Well, the good news is, I mean, we talked about this a little bit on Juicy USA, is that, you know, I'm now at a point where I'm able to form partnerships in order to grow. So I have two partners that I'm talking to currently, and a third that I'm starting to talk to about opening spaces together where they own the spaces and I would operate them for them. And so it's a much better fiscal plan for me, as Link Coworking, which is my space in Austin, and Link 2, which is my second space here, you know, they are my babies and fully owned by me. And so, you know, it's putting more money in for expansion wasn't something I was willing to do. So partnering with the right people for expansion is definitely the way I want to go. And I've decided that, you know, at this juncture, I only want to expand within Austin. You know, we've got about 150 people moving here a day, you know, so I don't need to go anywhere. Everyone's coming to me.
Right. Perfect.
I'll just build more here. You know, I have a hard enough time getting across town. I don't need to get on a plane to see a co-working space. I'd like to just stay here. Because I do travel a lot internationally, and so when I'm in Austin, I want to be focused just on Austin.
And your people.
And my people.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, I think that's, you know, one of my favorite things about running my own space is it feeds my soul to be here. Mm-hmm. And I get to provide this haven, you know, in this world of all this busyness and clutter and this needs your attention and that needs your attention and this device is beeping and the TV is on and all of this hecticness that, you know, there is this respite from the storm. There's this beautiful little haven called Link Coworking where you can come and sit down and be taken care of and get done whatever it is you need to get done. And, you know, that's so priceless to have a space that does that for you. And getting to make a difference in people's lives so they can go to live their life is what really drives me at my core.
Yeah, you have a special combination of getting to spend time locally and see sort of that like grassroots change that you're making and then be a part of some real global change through the conferences that you're running. You had a good gig going on over there, Liz.
Well, thank you. I often joke that, you know, I made Juicy so that I could get my travel paid
right.
for.
Hey. So with we talked a little bit about that the hockey stick is coming. Mm-hmm. But just to kind of hit on that, you know, as kind of a final thought, with your global view of co-working, what is your crystal ball telling you about what co-working is going to do in the next 5 years?
Yeah, well, I don't have a crystal ball. If I did, I would have had the lottery numbers by now. But, you know, what I do see coming is actually pretty typical, I think, in trends, which is, you know, we'll see more money come in. We'll see a heck of a lot of growth, like incredible growth. And then we'll see some consolidation. You know, we're going to see a lot of bigger players enter the market. Regis is definitely going to come after this market. And I'm sure other folks are in the plans as well. I know of a few others. So, you know, and there's already people that are quote unquote copycatting WeWork. So we're going to see a lot more large scale entries into the field. We will start to see people buy out other spaces, which we're already starting to see. You know, I think that we'll see a lot of money flowing around and a lot of people making some really big moves. And I think that that's really exciting. So I just see incredible growth, consolidation, investment, and new very large players coming into this market.
Yeah, I think all of that makes complete sense, and it's going to be an interesting next 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your perspective and your time, given the fact that you just got back from Australia and you're speaking in Colombia next week.
Yeah, I'm going to Bogota.
Awesome.
Very excited about that and happy to be, you know, spreading more co-working juiciness around the world.
So where can we find you online if folks want to follow you and Juicy?
Okay. For Twitter, Juicy USA is just at GCUCUSA, and that's Goat Cat Unicorn Cat. I actually don't have a personal Twitter account because I don't really have a personal life. And my Link Coworking is just at Link Coworking. And then, you know, simple to find on Facebook. We're also on Instagram, and I am Liz.Elam on Skype, and I am on LinkedIn. I'm on everything.
You are. I was going to say, you know, your Pinterest board is really, I always love when I log into Pinterest and see some of your co-working posts.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're also on Pinterest. They say, you know, people, it's hard to do more than a couple of platforms well, but I think you've proven them wrong.
Well, you know, what's funny about that is when I first started Link, I knew nothing about social media. This is all self-taught. Not one thing.
Well, you have a good teacher. Maybe that'll be your next career.
I doubt. I'm hoping this is it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll keep it there. Well, awesome. Well, so thank you. Everybody check out all of Liz's great resources online because Liz and Juicy share amazing content and trends and they're just really kind of on the pulse of everything that's happening in co-working. So, and like I said, we'll include all those links in the show notes at everythingcoworking.com. Liz, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie.
This was fun. Good. We will catch up with you again soon.
All right. Ciao.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.